Amen. He's a lily of the valley. Great song. If you have a Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1 today. Oh, girls, you can go to your class. Second Timothy chapter 1. We'll just look at one verse today. And I want to speak today about the fear of the unknown. Think about that. And we'll see that in the scripture and see some wonderful answers to that fear. They say we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow, right? And I know it's a little saying, but there's a lot of power in that saying. But look with me at verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." There's something that Paul knew, and he was assured of. He was convinced. The Bible says that he was persuaded, and we'll look at that this morning. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word today. Blessed Lord, open our hearts, our minds to it. May your spirit give guidance. May you just take control of our service today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a precious verse, and there are so many like it, where you know something and you're persuaded biblically. We have the truth in the scriptures. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, the Bible says about Abraham, "And being fully persuaded that what he hath promised, he was able also to perform." He was persuaded at the promise. And he, because of the promise, he knew that God was going to perform that promise. And so we today, we have Bibles and we look at the Bible and we hear preaching, we hear teaching, we read books about the Bible, and we see promises in the Word of God. And that is something, by putting our faith in that, we're persuaded of that promise. I believe God can do everything he says he's going to do. And that's just our faith. Abraham believed God, and we believe God too. Romans 8:38, Paul said, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come," and he goes on for a little bit, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So he was persuaded that. Why was he persuaded? Because of the promises, because of what God said in the Bible. It's so important to know what the Bible says, amen? Because that's God's word to us. You have in Luke chapter 16 and verse 31, he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets," if they don't hear what the scripture says, "neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." The persuasion that the believer has is because of the promise of God, because of what God said, because of the Bible. We go to the Bible, we read what God says, and, well, I'm persuaded God's able to do that. And it's a wonderful thing when you put faith into practice. There's a lot that says that God is going to keep his word, a lot of verses that say that in the Bible. The word is settled in heaven forever. It's settled. You have the scriptures cannot be broken. The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. And that's just a few of the verses. It's settled because we believe God. Amen? So whatever the issue, whatever the problem, whatever you see coming in the future, we can go to the scripture for some answers. Everything that's going on in the world today, it's in the Bible. I mean, there's prophecy about all of these things. It's amazing. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, where a great church was established, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And he says, "For with this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, ye received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God." And he says, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So the Bible works if we believe it. So we put our faith in the Bible, and what do we get from that? We get comfort, we get strength, amen. Our fears are dispelled, and we find those answers in the Bible. The Bible is the truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we have some real foundation here. John chapter 1, you go from salvation to glorification, to the prophecy that's going to take place. The Bible is prophetic, and boy, I wish we had more time to do that. I mentioned I was going to preach for 4 hours. That's the minimum today. I wish I could speak longer on the prophecy, but it is good. The Bible is practical. Amen. You can use it in your life. The Bible is trustworthy. It's comforting. It really, really is. It's strengthening. And put any good word in there, and the Bible will help us to do that. But the real value of the Scripture is seen and experienced in a time of need. When we really need God, that's when most people go to the Bible. Sometimes people don't pray for weeks on end, but boy, when there's a problem, when there's a real time of need, everybody seeks God. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. And all of that. And the Scripture is the same thing. It's so important to know that. We sing a song, I Need Thee Every Hour. So if we could just realize what the need was, you know, I'm not going through any great trial now. I have been through some in my life. And it's so true. The greater the need, the more attachment to God, it seems, anyway. But we have need of God all the time. David shows us that in the Psalms. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God tells us what to do when we have a time of need. That is come to Him. Come to that mercy seat. Come to that throne of grace because He wants to help us. Psalm 56 and verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen? So I'm afraid, I'm going to trust, I'm going to put my faith in God, and that's going to take the fear away. You know, in Mark chapter 4, I believe it is, the disciples are in the boat with Jesus, and he's asleep in the hinder part of the ship, and there's a great storm that arises, and they run down and they wake him up, and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were afraid. These are seasoned sailors, and they are afraid of the storm. And Jesus comes up, and he says, peace be still, and he calms the wind and the waves, and he says, how is it that you have no faith? I'm on board. The ship's not going down. Amen? But they were afraid because they didn't have faith that Jesus could do what he did. You go to Acts chapter 27, and you find Paul is on this prison ship. He's going to Rome to be tried as a prisoner, as a criminal. And there's a great storm, and they're throwing everything overboard to lighten the ship. They're doing whatever they can to keep that ship floating. Everybody thinks they're going to lose their lives. Paul's down inside the ship, and he's praying. And he comes up, and he says, be of good cheer. You ever get somebody like that? You know, you're going through, I mean, who knows what you're going through. Be of good cheer. You might want to hit him, you know, or kick him or throw him out of the house. But he says, be of good cheer. I believe God. Faith. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. And so Paul wasn't afraid of anything. And it was just like Paul said, just like God told Paul. Nobody lost their lives. So you find fear where there's a lack of faith and a lack of trust. And you find no fear where there's faith and there's trust. But the fear of the unknown, boy, that pops up all the time. I don't know what's going to go on tomorrow. I don't even know what's going to go on the next 5 minutes in church, you know. But some people are afraid of tomorrow. You just got to leave it with God. Amen. My times are in his hands. So there's a lot of fears. We could talk about those today, but some people are afraid they're losing their jobs. Some people are afraid of health issues. Some people are afraid of the world situation or politics or this or that, or that the Lions aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. Yeah, that's a gimme. Okay. But there's all kinds of things to be afraid of. And sometimes we worry, and then when the worry passes or the circumstance passes, we say, what did I worry for? You know, I wasted all that time worrying. But that's what we do. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15, here's the big one. Here's the big one that people worry about, the fear of the unknown. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This is where faith is needed the most. who through fear of death. We're all looking forward to that day. I mean, that's going to come for everybody. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I mean, it's going to happen. Amen? And so people do everything, anything, to just live another day. But if we really knew what heaven was like, maybe we wouldn't think that way. Maybe there would be more of a calm. But this is where faith is needed the most, because we have not experienced that. And there's a lot of preaching on it, a lot of teaching on it, but it's when God speaks to our heart, it's when our faith is put in God that we can see some things. If you have a Bible, turn to a number of scriptures. We'll start with, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read some verses there. And three portions of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 7. The fear of the unknown about God. There's movies, there's books written, there's all this stuff out there, and somebody has this idea and somebody has that idea. We always need to go back to the scripture. Amen? Because there's conflicting things about all of this. But heaven is a real place. Amen? And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he promises us a home in heaven. And we'll see that in just a minute. But look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus wouldn't have been crucified by them if they knew that he was the Son of God, but they did not know that. The Bible goes on and says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also ye speak, not in words of man's wisdom, that man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can they know them. The Bible says we don't know some things, but God reveals those things to us by his Spirit. And so we look into the Bible. It's a spiritual book. Amen? This book is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the word and the promise of God. And so what we don't know about the future, God tells us. And he reveals there is going to be a future after this. It's appointed unto man once to die after this. Okay? And so we have all kinds of instruction about that. Because if we don't have faith, the future is scary. The future is fearful. But if we have faith, there's a comfort in that. And we'll see that as we go on. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we'll begin reading there in verse 1. John chapter 14. Excuse me, in verse 1. This is a promise of the Lord. This is our Savior speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Here's all the promises now. If we have faith in this promise, it's a wonderful thing. It takes our fear away. The Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then he says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. He said, I and the Father are one. I am God in the flesh. I came to die for your sins. He's preached that. He's taught that. He's saying, but I am preparing a place for you. That place is heaven. Amen? He went to the cross so that we would have a place in heaven. And all we have to do is trust him. And that's the promise. Boy, I don't know. I don't know. No, we have the truth of the Word of God, and that is our foundation. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll read a few verses here and then get into the message. Here's the Christian's relationship to the Word. And we'll see that as we go through this. But look at 1 John chapter 5. Let's start here. Oh, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written. We have the Scriptures. Amen? And the Scriptures tell us about our Savior. And it tells us that we can know that we have eternal life. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to hope. We don't have to worry. It's settled. Amen? We've accepted Christ as our Savior, and we have the promise of eternal life. So that's the foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He's the foundation, and we build everything on that foundation. What a blessing. Amen? Here's the Christian's relationship to the Word. Number one, Psalm 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We delight in the Scriptures. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to hear the Bible, study the Bible, memorize the Bible, amen, read the Bible. All of those things are wonderful because it is the Word of God. It's the promises of God. Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I'm delighting in God. I'm delighting in his Word. Number two, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. There's a delight. There's a desire. I desire to be delighted. Amen. And we have another verse, Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is somebody ministering to you, desires that you know that Bible, desires that you have that delight in your heart. So there's a desire, there's a delight. And then Matthew 6:11, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And he says, pray like this: give us this day our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Back in the Old Testament, there was manna that came down from heaven. John chapter 6, Jesus Christ says, I am the one. I'm the manna that came down from heaven. I'm the bread of life. Amen? So we have the Bible. We have the Word of God. And we daily look at it. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You have three things: daily, desire, and delight. It works. God puts it in there. And if we daily read the Bible and daily seek God through the Scriptures, there's a delight in that. That's our desire. And we hear something from God. Okay, we're gonna go around the room, and everybody's going to tell their troubles today. And I'll try and give you some biblical answers. Do you know how long we would be here? We'd be here a long time. Well, I don't have any problems, any troubles. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. That's what God says, right? There's all kinds of sorrow in the world. There's all kinds of grief, disappointment, all of those things. And God says, well, this is how you handle this. This is what you do in this circumstance. It all comes back to God's instruction. Well, I'm going to go to a counselor. Well, make sure he's a biblical counselor. Amen? And counsel, there's safety in the multitude of counsel, and that's good. That's fine. But make sure it's biblical. We have in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, so many good verses here. For I know, God is speaking, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. To give you an expected end. What do we expect? Do we expect God to forsake us? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do we expect him to be cruel and harsh? No, he's tender. He's kind. He's forgiving. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. I mean, the verses go on and on and on. God is good. All we have to do is desire him, and he's right there. Amen? What's the verse? Richard, what's the verse I'm looking for? When I forget the verse, Richard always tells me the verse, except for this time. But draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Amen? Just say, I need you, God. Him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we come to him and seek him, he will reward that faith. He will bless that faith. What is heaven like? Man, who knows? I know some things about it. I've been studying the Bible about 40 years or maybe longer, but I don't know a whole lot about heaven. I just know it's a good place. Amen? The verses that I know, it's going to be wonderful. And, you know, you can talk about that. It's a prepared place for prepared people. If you're a Christian, that's where you're going to spend eternity. Somebody said this about the unknown. Researchers define fear of the unknown as the tendency to be afraid of something you have no information about on any level. The fear of the unknown. I have no information about it on any level. That's not true for the Christian. We have all kinds of information on it. Amen? And you say, well, boy, I don't know. But we go to the scriptures and we find out what God says. Anxiety, fear of the unknown, fundamental fears, intolerance of uncertainty, neuroticism, the degree to which a person experiences the world as distressing, threatening, and unsafe. What a great life, you know? I mean, to live in fear, to fret all the time, to fear about this and fear about... Man, you say, well, it's never been like today. Well, talk to somebody who was here 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 50 years ago. There's always been troubles in the world. Yeah, but it's worse now than it's ever been. It depends on where you live and what you're going through. I mean, in America, we've had it pretty good, amen? But there are some countries that haven't had that. All kinds of martyrdom, all kinds of trials. But to live in fear every day is not to live by faith. And we need to come back to that. Lovecraft wrote this. The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear. And the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown. Fear does crazy things to people. When fear gets in, I mean all kinds of situations, all kinds of things. Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hand. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, but that principle is in the scripture. Through faith we understand. It's the faith that we have that dispels the fears that come upon us. I want to read this. F.B. Meyer wrote this, and it's a paragraph, so you have to pay attention. I don't want you to lose this, but he said, what is true of the natural qualities of the soul is preeminently true of faith. So long as we are quietly at rest, amid favorable and undisturbed surroundings, faith sleeps as an undeveloped sinew within us. But when we are pushed out from all these surroundings with nothing but God to look to, then faith grows suddenly into a cable, a monarch oak, a master principle of the life. As long as the bird lingers by the nest, it will not know the luxury of flight. And it's when the trials come, that's when our faith ought to be strengthened. Amen? That's when we come to God. That's when we turn to God. The prodigal, he went to a far country. He had his inheritance, but he squandered his living on riotous, or squandered his money on riotous living. But when he came to himself, everything was gone. He had nothing but a memory of his father. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll confess my sin. Praise the Lord. And sometimes that happens to people, you know. before they ever come to God, it has to get pretty bad. But it doesn't have to get bad. You can come to God today. Amen. You can come to God in the midst of prosperity, in the midst of everything going well. But we know that our faith is tested from time to time. Think of the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt and they came to the Red Sea and Moses stretched out the rod and the sea parted. That's quite a miracle, you know. You know, they forgot that later. They forgot that. That great thing that God did for them, they forgot it later. Lest we forget, we need to remember what God has done in our lives. If you're here and you've been a Christian for any amount of time, your memory can go back, wow, boy, look what God did here, and look what he did here, and look what he did here. And it's just so powerful. And what he did yesterday, he can do today and tomorrow. Amen? He's a good God. Ecclesiastes 7:2. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. To think about the day where we're going to stand before God, to think about the day when our time on earth is over. That is not something that should be fearful. Oh, there are ties, family ties, amen, friends. We want to stay here. But if we really saw heaven, I think we'd have more of a desire to be there. Paul said that. We'll look at that in a minute. Kent wrote this, book sense makes sense because someone has gone through it before and they're able to share it with you. Your job is to listen and discern. So somebody writes a book on their experience. You've never had that experience, so you're reading the book and go, oh, wow, I see that. But the Bible has Bible sense. Amen? And I mean, so many. You have David, Solomon, Paul, John. Let's look at some of these. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen? The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's faith. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And another verse says, I will trust and not be afraid. Perfect love casteth out fear. There's no fear here if there's faith. We have Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Proverbs 14:32. The righteous hath hope in his death. Romans 14:8. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. We'll be with him. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. What the Bible teaches us about death for the Christian is it's precious, it's gain, it's eternal rest, it's paradise, it's all good. Amen? But we don't know that experimentally, right? We don't know that circumstantially. We know that by faith. Why do you believe in God? Why do you believe the Bible's true? That's all faith, right? Because we've not seen him. There's so much we don't know, but we believe it by faith. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible's full of verses and truths about faith. But think about heaven. And I just want to bring out a few points here. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. One day that's going to happen. No more tears. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more death. Chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. If there's no more curse, there's no more death. If there's no more curse, there's no more crying, no more sickness, no more sin, no more pain, because there's no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. That's what's ahead for us. Amen? I like reading those verses. I think they're great verses. Amos chapter 4, God says, prepare to meet thy God, but it was a rebuke to those who were living ungodly and not following him. That's not what I'm preparing for. I'm preparing for a wonderful time in heaven. My brother's there, my mom's there, my dad's there, my grandparents are there, my Aunt Ogie and Aunt Betty are there. Greatest two ladies ever lived on the earth. Aunt Ogie. Why doesn't somebody name their child Olga? I can't understand that. It's a great name. And the name you can use is Ogie, Aunt Ogie. Anyway, I mean, I'm going to see the Lord. I'm never going to have a thought of sin. In his presence is fullness of joy. That's what it says. Amen? And when we put our faith in that, that's a blessing. The fear is gone. Certainly, we want to stay here as long as we can. Amen? That's why I do so many exercises every day. Yeah, my wife's teaching Sunday school, so I can say whatever I want. Amen? Granny Brick said the secret to a long life is black coffee and chocolate. That's my kind of woman. Amen? But one of these days, our life's going to be over. One of these days. What then? Boy, it's good to have verses in your mind. It's good to know where to go in the Bible so you can be encouraged and strengthened and comforted with the promises of God. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll just read a couple of verses. We'll be done shortly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Boy, this is a blessed chapter. The whole chapter is great. It's called the resurrection chapter in the Bible. It starts out with what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and on the third day rose again according to the scriptures. That's how we know that. That's what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He paid our penalty, and he rose again the third day victorious over death. Death could not keep his prey. He tore the bars away, the song says. Amen? And Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Okay, so we're his children. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. All the promises in the Bible. There's a verse that says, all the promises in him are yea and amen. Yea, yes, amen, so be it. It's going to happen because the scriptures cannot be broken. It is impossible for God to lie. He's the way, he's the truth. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look with me at verse, it's all good. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Boy, that's a powerful verse. It's telling us what's going to happen. This mortal's going to become alive forevermore. Amen? We're going to have a new body. Jesus, when he was resurrected, remember, he walked right through the door. Think how fun that'll be. Amen? If you ever lose your key, it doesn't matter. That's a joke, man. Come on. You still with me? Okay. Look at the next verse. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It's written. God tells us what he's going to do. God tells us where we're going to be. I mean, we don't know everything about heaven. I mean, you can preach on it, and we'll bring some things out about it. But he tells us where we're going to be. He tells us what it's going to be like. Amen? It's going to be wonderful. And look at the next verse. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the victory is. What's the verse? What's the verse? I should ask Richard again, but he didn't give me the last one. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith. That's the victory. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, this is what God says. I believe it. That's victory. Amen? We believe in God by faith. We believe in Jesus Christ by what the Bible says, by faith. The Bible says Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not might. Anybody, whosoever. Amen? Not this group or that group or doing this or doing that. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Here it is. He died for you. He died for me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's the promise again. Amen? It's all through Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by him. So, okay, well, but these people believe something different. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says this is how to go to heaven. Admit that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? Admit that you're a sinner. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible is full of examples of that, full of illustrations. That's the way to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. I know I'm quoting a lot of verses, but it's because that's convincing. Amen? This isn't my idea on how a person gets forgiven. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of the living God dwells within you. Amen? I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No more death, no more curse. This mortal shall put on immortality. This carnal is going to be spiritual. It's going to be wonderful. Hebrews 11, verse 13. I'm just getting ready to start the message now. Stay, please stay. I'm kidding. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, here's David, here's Samson, here's three Hebrew children, here's Daniel in the lion's den, and all of these victories. And then it comes down to the end of the chapter, and it says, and others who were not delivered. There are some people that don't seem to enjoy all of the blessings they suffer in this life. The mission field is full of them. There are countries that they don't live like we do. Amen? But it says here, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're strangers and we're pilgrims. And maybe we don't have, maybe we're just going through life and trying to be the best we can for God. And we know that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Because one day, he'll say, well done. And we'll be with the Lord for all eternity. Life isn't about getting all you can and canning all you get. Life isn't about just being as comfortable as you can be and boy, I got it made. No, it's about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the heart is. Amen? And faith does that. Faith takes the word of God and says, I'm going to live for God, come what may. It's a blessing. One day we will truly go home. There is a verse, and Paul said it. He said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You can't miss that. You can't miss that. I love you. Maybe you love me. Amen. Come on, we got visitors here today. Yeah. Man, I ain't never going back there. I would grieve if any of you passed away. I would grieve, but we're all going to pass away. And I may beat you there. Amen. I had two pastor friends. One was 66 when he passed away, and one was 52 or something. And they both had real health issues. And they would argue, and jokingly, about who would go first. And they were dear friends of mine. And they died within 1 to 2 weeks of each other. I did both of their funerals. And we talked about that. And the funeral was a celebration because they had no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. But the people that are left behind do. But it gives you that longing to see them again. Amen. You always talk to people, and if they're believers and they had loved ones that are already there, they're looking forward to seeing them again. I don't know what it's going to be like. Amen? I don't know. I think automatically when you get there, you get a cloud and a harp, and you're assigned that for eternity. Now, I don't think that's how it works. We're going to serve the Lord and enjoy the Lord, and we're going to have pleasures forevermore. Think of it. That's the promise that we're persuaded about. Amen? We're persuaded about the promise. And God is able to perform it. A lot of fears. And there's a fear of the unknown. But God has said, just step out. It's okay. You don't have to fear. Peter, come. Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. And so Peter steps out of the boat and he walks on water. Amazing. God can do anything. Amen. We're not talking something foolish. We're talking facts and faith. What does God say in the Scriptures? Be comforted by that. Amen? The comfort of the Scriptures. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, it's so simple. And you here that are saved, you would say amen to this. It's so simple. It's like a little child can do it. All you have to do is acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He's the Son of God. He paid your penalty. You're a sinner. You need forgiveness. You need Jesus to go to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's a simple prayer. And if you pray with your heart, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All you have to do is ask, and God will give you a home in heaven. And he'll change your life. Man. I mean, why wouldn't anybody want to be saved? Amen? Let's bow our heads. If you're here today, heads bowed, eyes closed, and you've never prayed, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, it's a simple prayer. Pray something like this. Pray, dear Jesus, silently. He'll hear the prayer of your heart. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. Thank you for paying my penalty. I believe you're the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to be my Savior. I ask you to give me a home in heaven for all eternity. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you said that prayer, nobody's looking around, nobody's going to come to you. But if you said that prayer, would you slip your hand up? Is there anybody like that? You said that prayer today. Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. I just want to have a special prayer for you. God bless you. God bless you. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And God will start working in your life like he's never worked before because he wasn't there. He'll really be a blessing to you. If there's anything we can do, we'll be praying for you. Father, help us now. I pray, Lord, that as we have a little bit of an invitation time, that people will speak to you, claim promises, be comforted by your word. Whatever the need is today, Lord, please meet that need for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.